Another question. How many of you know there is a Dream Center in Red Deer? Well, there's a few. Well, that's good, because we're going to learn a whole lot more about the Dream Center this morning. So I'd like to welcome Wes and his friends.
You can come up in a bit. We come as a package.
Okay, that sounds great. So we're just going to turn this over to Wes now.
Thank you. Well, thank you, everyone. I love coming back to Three Hills. Three Hills has a very near and dear place in my heart. Back in 1996, I was a graduate of Prairie High School. And that's kind of where my journey started, from young man to old man, and or younger man. I'm still feeling a little bit young. But I want to tell you a story about where recovery started in my world. So in 1996, I had a teacher named Monty Kaus. I don't know if any of you know or remember Monty Kaus. Maybe you're, yeah, good. He was my Bible 30 teacher. And he shared a story with me that wrecked me. I was sitting in Bible 30. He didn't know how many times we cheated in his course. I mean, it was unbelievable. But he had a profound story. See, Monty had a leg that was misfigured, and he constantly limped. He limped his whole life. And he shared this story about growing up in a church community. His mom and dad, I think, were missionaries. And he shares the story of him challenging, like his faith was hanging on by a thread. And through tears, he would share to our class this time when he felt like he didn't even want to live anymore. And he was walking on 50th Ave, in Three Hills, walking out towards the three bumps, I call them. And he was having a conversation with God, and he said, God, I don't know if you're real. I've heard you're real. I've seen you, you know, talked about in church, but I've not felt you. I've not seen you. And he's like, I need to know you're real. And as he's walking to the Three Hills, he gets to his location. He turns around and walks back, and he's having this dialogue with God. And he says, actually, God, I need you to prove it to me. He said, when I turn around, I'm walking towards town. When I turn around, I want to see the Northern Lights. I haven't seen the Northern Lights over the Three Hills ever. I haven't seen them very often. But he's like, when I turn around, I want you to show me the Northern Lights. And as he's walking, he turns around, and there's no Northern Lights. And as he's walking over the train tracks, just out of town. And he turns, and he said, figures. He's like, I thought so. And he took his next step, and he tripped over those railway tracks. Scuffed his knee, scuffed his hands. I think he hit his head. And through tears, he says to me, he was picking himself up, and he was dusting off his wounds. And as he pulled his head back, he looked, and he saw the Northern Lights. And he said, this moment marked me. That's the first time I ever heard of something like that as a high school kid at Prairie High School. I mean, I knew that God was real, but I never actually tangibly heard. But it happened to Monty. And I thought, man, if it could happen to Monty, maybe it could happen to me too. And you know, in 96, I played for the Sabres hockey team. I was, you know, Tim's my coach. I still call Tim coach. It's been 30 years, and, you know, that's why I came here. I was a bad kid. I got sent here, and they hoped that Prairie would shape me up. And on the weekends, we would go down to Red Deer. Not supposed to, but we would, and we would go to these little, because it was a hot spot. It was kind of like five nightclubs in one area, and you could hang out there. And so there was this one nightclub that we would go and hang out at and kind of be bad, and then come back to Prairie and not tell anyone, and then just hope it, you know, felt better the next day. Or needless to say, I didn't know that 22 years later, God would pick a guy like me to go and help purchase an old nightclub. I didn't know that at the time. But I look back at my roots, and I think of how all of these fond memories, they started in Three Hills. The move of God that happened in my life over those next 22 years was unbelievable. I had seen God show up in my life so many different places, and it was tangible. And I started to make the difference, because I always think that there's a huge chasm between God and us. And I'm like, you know, actually, the distance between how far God is away and where you are is about 12 inches. And it's like, it's here. It's getting it from your head and actually having it implanted in your heart. And I share these stories with you because this is kind of how the Dream Center started. It was a nightclub. If you look up Lotus Nightclub, 2016, 2017, you'll see headlines, knife stabbing, drug use, gun violence, arrests, like on and on and on. From 2020 to 2018, that was the history. And you look at it today, and it's Red Deer's first drug and alcohol recovery center. It was a place where there was strippers, where there was dancers, where there was drugs, where there was, you name it, there was. And it was a place that was built for something that was so not of this world, or of this world, but not of God's world. And to see what's happened now has changed my life. It's actually Joel chapter 3. It's restoring the years that the locusts have eaten. It's phenomenal. And so when I talk about the Dream Center, I get a little bit passionate because it's very real. I have my own little story, but I also see the challenges that have come from it. And man, I'll tell you, it has been like an uphill battle. From 2020 to 2022 was absolute hell. We faced every kind of rejection when it came to the city council saying, no, we don't want you there. We had residents writing letters saying, we don't want a recovery center in our downtown. How could you do that? There's a strip club sitting right next door. There's another one right behind it. There's an alcohol store right across the street. There's a needle exchange program literally right across the street from us. How on earth could you put a recovery center right in the middle of the crazy? And I've asked that question a lot, and I always come back with this simple solution because this is what makes sense to me. It's like, you know when you're in a dark room? And you know what happens when you flicker a Bic lighter? Like just a little bit? When you flicker a Bic lighter, light scatters through that place and it actually brightens it up. And it's funny how a little bit of light in a really dark place makes it shine really bright. And I equate that to what the Dream Center stands for in Red Deer right now. We are a Jesus first, faith-based drug and alcohol recovery center. We believe in three aspects of recovery. There is a physical part, there is a mental part, and there is a spiritual part. And I get into debates and talks with clinicals, and one of the reasons why I brought Daryl is because Daryl is our director of client care and program. He's the clinical stuff. He's got all the clinical stuff. And then we brought Corey. Corey's one of our alumni that we actually hired at the Dream Center. He's the guy, he's a frontline guy that answers the phone. Because when people call, he can relate. He's, I've been there. I can tell you about this. Let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about this place. Let me tell you what it means. Let me tell you what recovery looks like. You know, it's a 6-month minimum program that we teach you how to be a disciple. It's recovery, but it's discipleship. And I think we all have a story when it comes to in need of discipleship. This is what we were called to do. We were called to make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I look at this and I think, God, I can't believe what you've done. I can't believe what you've done. This is a miracle. There is a miracle after miracle. I could share hours of story after story after story of how God has been at the center of it. You know, we opened in November of 2022. And we've been open for almost 3 years. This will be our third year anniversary. I'll let Daryl share a little bit of the stats and where guys are at and how many people have gone through the program. But, you know, about a year, 13 months after we'd opened, we had the Minister of Mental Health and Addictions come through our facility from the Alberta government. And he wanted to see this place. Because addictions is a big thing. It's a hotbed right now. It's mental health and addictions. Mental health and addictions. All the money's going there. And you know, we kind of pioneered something that we felt like God said, do. And he walked through the center and he looked at me and he's like, how did you guys do this? He's like, you raised over $1.5 million to renovate a building. You've raised over $1.2 million in operating budget and you have no funding from the government. How did you do that? And I said to Minister Williams, I said, Dan, in my world, we call that a miracle because I don't actually know. And I said, I don't know if you understand that language. I didn't know Dan Williams that well. He said, oh, yeah, I know what you mean. And it seems like we have a fairly faith-friendly government right now. Because one of the things that he said to us, he's like, well, we want to fund you. And I said, I appreciate that. I think it's great. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're asking us to change our model about who our Lord is and what we stand for, you can keep your money. Because we don't want it. Because we believe that there's 3,000 people in Central Alberta that could afford $40 a month, that could operate our facility, and we could actually have it as a gift for people. Like, it's a gift to our community. We've had local residents in your neighborhood that have come and have received treatment, that have received help. And we've been able to set the table for what God has called us to do. We don't jam Bible down your throat. We operate in the principles founded in the Bible. We set the table. And we ask them, would you want to come eat? Like, if you want to come eat, you're welcome to. The table's set. It's yours. We will serve you. You choose to partake, you're welcome to. Addictions recovery is a stigma, is a nasty connotation with it, but you know, the reality is we're struggling with addictions all the time. Some of us spend too much money. Some of us eat too much. Some of us have self-confidence issues. Some of us, we have addictions in our life, and you know, we are spiritual beings that are stuck in physical bodies. And to me, it's like my body craves bad things. I don't know about yours. Mine does. And like, I need a savior. I've needed a savior my whole life. Now I get to see the hands and feet of what actual saving looks like. And when you get individuals that come into our program and they don't have a degree in Christianese, they have not been to church, they have not had different levels of, you know, what to say and how to say it and all the Bible verses to back it up. Because, you know, we're pretty good. Like, we can do this. But they'll come in and they'll give us the rawest, cleanest, like the most profound prayers. Lord, I've effed up. I'm an effing mess. And I hear the heartbeat of that man, and it's like, oh my goodness, you get it. You understand what it means to be saved. Like, you get it. You're in your mess. Because God never asks us to go take a shower first and say, get clean, get all your language cleaned up, get your habits all cleaned up, then come to me, and then I'll wash you clean. He never says that. And we're stuck in such a dynamic position right now in Red Deer. We are in the darkest, pittest, grossest place, and we get to spread light in that place. You know, in December, we've been praying for this. In December, the liquor store shut down. Right? What? Do you know, in November of this year, Turning Point, the needle exchange program, has been defunded? What's happening? Like, the Lord has a plan for Red Deer and Central Alberta. It's recovery, but it's discipleship. And you know what's been hard? Is talking to churches and talking to organizations and allowing them. This isn't just to throw money at it and just, you know, feel better. It's like, we got to get dirty. I don't know about you, but walking around Three Hills, if it's gotten worse, you come into Red Deer and it is eight times what it was just 5 years ago. We have about 900 people that are deemed homeless. You know, that supervised consumption site that they finally shut down, like it served 233 people 3,300 times. A month. We paid $1.1 million a year to fund that. Like, the stats are out of the world. And when I see what God is calling his bride to do, it's to get dirty. You know, sometimes it's holding back somebody's hairs or puking in the toilet because they've drank too much, but it's like, it's okay. It's okay. It's not enabling, it's loving. You know, but love actually compels us to do something that we've never thought we could do. If you would have asked me 10 years ago or 20 years ago, as a high school graduate, where I would be right now, I could not. I would not in a million years be able to tell you. Like, I have said yes to what God's called me to speak on. I get a decent mouthpiece, I guess. I don't know. My wife says this is the money maker right here. You hope it works. And we leave all the other stuff to the smart guys, but I can tell you that God has changed my heart. I grew up in church. I know all the answers. I've been completely wrecked. Completely wrecked. I had no idea what it meant to look at somebody and to love them in their addiction. Not to enable them, but to love them. Because it's love that compels us to move forward. That doesn't mean you don't have boundaries. It doesn't mean you don't have those. But when you start loving people, it is so powerful to watch the love of Jesus come in and transform an individual to a point that is unrecognizable. We had Concept Dental come to one of our graduations last week. And, you know, they were telling me, this is a story that they were exchanging. Well, we knew this guy. His name was Corey. I don't know if you knew who this guy is, but, you know, he came into our facility and he got his teeth fixed, and it's been over a year, and we don't know where he is. And I'm like, oh, wait a sec, let me get you. And we brought Corey to her. I said, this is Corey. And she looked at him, and she was like, what? I don't even recognize you. Wait, and she gave him this big hug. And I'm just like, this is our world seeing the transformation that God can do to an individual. Oh, my goodness. It's enough talk. It's now about action. You know, how does the world know that we are lovers, followers of Jesus, Christians? It's by our love. And when you see love actually transform an individual from addictions, from dead to life, oh man, that's what we represent. And so we believe that there is enough people out in Central Alberta, there's 4,000, 3,000 people that could afford $40 a month, that could fund this, that we didn't need government money. Because right now they give us about $600,000. It's not bad, but it's not even half of what we need to provide full-time support. We have 25 beds. You know, we have up to 30 if we can get there. But you know, it is absolutely imperative that we get the message out and that we start sharing who we are, what we are, unashamedly, because governments come and go, so do budgets, so does funding. But we believe that the people of God know how to do this well, and it's about funding, it's about inspiring, it's about getting your hands dirty, and it's about joining. And so we're inviting you into that story. I want to bring up Daryl Wilkie. Daryl is our director of client care, and Daryl has the smarts behind it. He has the clinical behind it. He has the counseling behind it. Because you need that in the medical world, right? You can't just go up there and say, well, Jesus will make you better. Like, he's a good answer. But I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't hold a weight when it comes to what it looks like from the medical world. They want evidence. They want scientific evidence. They want this. They want that. And I think Daryl does a pretty good job of doing that. So I'm going to invite Daryl to come on in and start sharing, and then we're going to bring Corey up afterwards, and Corey's one of our alumni, and we're going to have a little bit of time, I think, for some question and answer, if you have some, and then we'll be around at the back afterwards. So thanks, Daryl.
Thanks. Okay, well, I want to say thanks for the worship this morning. I don't think you could have picked a better song, honestly, to lead us in today. I'm actually not going to take too much time. Here's why. I think that you have heard the heart of Wes. And two things people want to know. Not all the theory. Not all the intellectual information. But two things. Is it safe? And does it work? And I don't care if it's a nutritional program. I don't know if it's a clinical program. But people just want to know, is it safe and does it work? Because where I'm at in my life, in my story, in my journey, is that it's not working. It's not working. I'm just going to take a couple minutes and just philosophically talk a little bit about the program. I think one of the things that was asked was, why is our program different than any other program? Here's why it's different. because I believe that we address what is the heart of the matter. And that is believing that every behavior is motivated to meet a need in a person's life. And that whatever I'm doing, physically, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, whatever it is, I absolutely believe that I'm doing it for all the right reasons, that it's going to meet a need in my life. And I actually don't know that it's not until I discover that it's not meeting the need. That I'm in more of a deficit than I was before. And it puts us on this journey of trying to find life and hope and purpose. And I want to suggest that at the Dream Center, we look at real change happening from the inside out, not the outside in. It's not what we teach, it's not what we say, but rather it's about believing and trusting and being willing to enter in to a new story, a new narrative in their life through the experience of other men and in some cases women, not in this center, where they begin to acknowledge that we are powerless and that our lives have become unmanageable. And yes, that is the first step in the 12-step program. But if we were to look at the Word of God, we would see that God tells us, just bear with me for a moment here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in results, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I would say that the Dream Center is about the acknowledgement that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. That through my story, through my experience, I discovered one verse, despite my education, despite my experiences, despite what I know intellectually, my life brought me to one place, and it was one verse. And some of you kids will know this. You'll have memorized it maybe in Sunday school, and Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. "Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways simply acknowledge him." And I think in our journey at the Dream Center, it's discovering and learning that apart from God, we can do nothing. And that we truly do require that we depend upon God every day. And the men that come into our center are trusting God. We've had 131 men come through the center. And here's the transformative power of God in the lives of these men. For every man that enters treatment, we discover that there are 6 crimes that come off the streets in our community. We have discovered that because of drugs and alcohol, that many folks, 42% of the crimes related are as a result of use of drugs and alcohol. That as a result of recovery, 33% is the reduction of crimes in our neighborhoods and on our streets. Wes spoke to the fact that even where we are is starting to have a transformative power in the downtown core of Red Deer. 2 things will happen in our lives. We'll either become conformers or transformers. And as we see God work through us, in us, despite us, God begins to do transformation in our lives, not because of what we do, but because of what he does in us and through us. And so as we think about the Dream Center, we do ask for your prayers. I ask that you continue to lift up each man that enters the center. Drug addiction and alcoholism, as we know, is a very real problem, and it is destroying people. It's killing people. My son's in treatment even as we speak. And probably at least once or twice a month, he contacts me and he says, such and such has left and he's OD'd. And this past week alone, or 2 weeks ago, three people that left the program died. All different ages. Just left the program, and that was the end of their story. This is life and death. This is where we call where the rubber meets the road. And I would say, and as I'm going to ask Corey to come up here in a second, that what we do at the center is really about acknowledging. I think each staff acknowledges it. I think our philosophy acknowledges it. Our programs reflect it. And it's simply this, whether it's financial or whether it's God changing lives, we truly believe that apart from Him, we could do nothing. Nothing. This is God's deal. This is not our deal. And I am very, very privileged. And honestly, it sounds very eloquent that I'm smart. I'm not very smart. Matter of fact, I think I'm here because I spent most of my life saying, God, I can't. And trying to convince Him that I can't. Got the wrong person. And God going, I know you can't. But with me, you can. And I think that's the posture in which the Dream Center is actually built on. There lies the very foundation, the very cornerstone of the center. I can't, but God can. And it's a very humbling place. It's a very, very humbling place. But it's the best place to ever be. It's a tremendous gift to be in a place where you truly recognize that, but by, and I love the songs, but by the grace of God, but by the grace of God, go I. And I think you'll hear that in Corey's story and the story of each man. If you were to talk to different men that come out of the center. So I'm going to ask Corey to come forward this time and share with us.
Hello, everyone. Well, just to ladder off everything that Wes and Daryl have said today, I'm the proof that what's happening at the Dream Center today works. I've struggled for over 20 years with drugs and alcohol. The Dream Center was my third time in treatment. I had managed to have some sobriety throughout my time, but I always ended up going back out and using and drinking again. When the weight of the world rests on my shoulders and things get heavy, you know, life's problems hit me. I don't have the ability to cope. And I turn to substances in order to deal with that, to make myself feel better, to take away the loneliness, to take away the pain, to numb all that. Another thing I want to say is that addiction does not discriminate. I come from a really good family with a really good upbringing. I'm born in Calgary. My mom is a very strong Christian. She's the only one in my family that's a Christian. My dad never was, but he was a good man, hardworking man. But all the rest of my family. But we had everything we needed growing up. I was not in a home where there was any type of abuse. There was no criminal activity. There was none of that stuff, right? I had everything I needed, and I had a lot of love. But somehow, somewhere along the way, I became lost. And it was When I was in Vancouver going to school, I had graduated, and out there I had suffered a significant loss. So what I ended up doing was moving back to Calgary, and when I got back, I started to work. I was quite successful, and but I couldn't deal with that loss. I didn't know how to cope with it. I was broken, living in the darkness, and just fighting to wrestle some sort of satisfaction out of life, and I could never do that. So I started to consume more and more alcohol, and that led into starting to use hard drugs to help with that, right? Because even the alcohol wasn't enough anymore. So that spiraled out of control fairly quickly, and a couple years after that, I went to treatment out in Powell River, BC, with Sunshine Coast Health Center, and managed to complete the program and white knuckle it for about 7 years. But I was never happy. I was always miserable. I was angry. I hated life. I had this void within me that could not be filled, and I tried to fill that while I was not using drugs or alcohol with other things, specifically material things. I was now sober, so I could function at work, and I had a very successful job in engineering. I worked in that field for about 15 years, part of that in my addiction. And then came another point in my life where the weight of the world got really heavy. And I can give you one of a million excuses as to why I was justified in going back out and using. Like, the world is unfair. Why can't I do this, right? I need this. And a big part of that was COVID. And on top of that was moving my wife's family here to Calgary from Venezuela as refugees. So we brought in three adults, and the whole family dynamic had changed within our household. And on top of that, my dad had become very ill. At that point, I broke again. The only way I could manage to cope with that and to not feel that pain anymore was to start using hard drugs again, and with that comes drinking. So at that point, it became very noticeable that I was in active addiction again, and I had to leave my house. I was removed from my house, and I lost my house, I lost my wife, I lost my daughter, I lost everything, a career, my vehicles, everything. I had ended up starting to sell everything for drugs and alcohol. And nobody, even my brother, my sister, the majority of my family wanted nothing to do with me anymore, because they just basically said, I can no longer watch you kill yourself. So I disappeared for 2.5, 3 years. Now, I literally and figuratively was in the darkness. I lived in a basement suite, and all I did was live to use. Every day was just about getting and finding ways and means to get more. And I hit a point of desperation where I couldn't live without the drugs and alcohol anymore, and I couldn't live with them anymore. So death seemed like it was possibly the only pathway to peace. And I didn't pray. The only prayers I ever made were 911 calls to God when I was sick or going through withdrawal or whatever it was. But my mom, being a very Christian woman, we stayed in contact. She was the only one that stayed in my corner, and she continued to pray for me. And through that, I truly believe that's the reason that I somehow, some way, ended up getting in contact with the Red Deer Dream Center. I knew at this point that I needed to get out of Calgary. I was now associated with very dangerous people doing very dangerous things, a lot of criminal activity, and I was going to go away. I was going to either end up dead or in jail, or I was going to end up clean and sober. I somehow managed to apply. I don't remember most of this. It's kind of a fog. And our intake coordinator, once I got into the Dream Center, a few months into the program, she said something to me that I couldn't believe, because I didn't remember. She said, "Do you remember the time when we were doing our over-the-phone interview before you came in? And you couldn't even talk, and I had to call 911 for you." And 911 came and actually kicked my door down in Calgary and took me to the hospital. And I didn't remember that. And I couldn't believe that I couldn't remember something so significant, because I had now been hospitalized probably 8 or 9 times in about a 4-month span for the things that I was doing. Needless to say, I did end up getting a phone call that I had been accepted to the Dream Center, and I explained to them that I need to detox from the drugs and alcohol before I can get into treatment, and you have to be clean when you get in there. So I said, the only way I'm going to be able to survive this is by going from Safe Harbor detox door-to-door right to the Dream Center, and that's what happened. And it's by the grace of God that I ended up here in Red Deer and then ended up in the Dream Center. This is where everything in my life changed. I had zero faith in anything. In fact, God was a punishing God. I didn't believe in him. I didn't care. Why would he do the things he did if he was a loving God, right? Like, if he really existed, how could he do that? But I was at a point where I was so desperate to get clean and to try to gain back anything that resembled a life, that I was willing to try anything. And I found myself in the Dream Center, and all they ask is that we're a Christian faith-based drug and alcohol treatment center, and all that we ask is you be open-minded. You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to convert to Christianity. And I went in there, and it's because of these two gentlemen. It's because of Wes's vision of the Dream Center and having to jump through all those hoops to make that possible. And then Daryl, being the director of programming and client care, the courses he does for us, the things he teaches us are absolutely invaluable to me. And along with that, because I started going to church and I started listening, you know, I finally started to listen, and I was open to anything. And that's when I started to find that maybe this God thing is real. Maybe he really is real. And I started to ask questions. I became open-minded, more open-minded than I was when I first came in. And things like, I'm sure some of you have heard of Alpha, that was offered. So I took that introduction to Christianity, and that changed my life. Through that, I found God. I became baptized. So that was Palm Sunday. I got baptized. And, you know, now I have a relationship with God that I never thought in a million years that I would have. If he would have told me that I'd be standing here speaking to you folks about how my life had changed and how I had come to Christ, I would have laughed at you. I really would have, because I never thought this would happen. And whatever it is, it's working today, and I truly believe that he's working in my life. I pray every night before I go to bed and every morning when I wake up and throughout the day, and he's answering my prayers. And one of those prayers that was answered was just for me to be useful to my fellows, right? And Wes and the other staff at the Dream Center decided they wanted to give me a shot at, you know, doing some work there, and I took that on, and I'm grateful that I have. And, you know, I'm being told by people that I do have an impact in the lives of others. I'm the first point of contact for when guys phone in and they are broken and in the place that I was in, that darkness. And I could say, hey, don't give up hope. There is a solution, right? And there truly is, right? God is doing for me today what I could not do for myself my whole life. That God-sized hole with inside of me that I tried to fill with everything else, drugs, alcohol, women, money, it never worked. And now today I've never been more at peace, more comfortable with my life. Never have I had so little. I have a little apartment. I don't have a car. I've got an e-bike. And you know what? I love God today, and that's why I come and do these things, because I want to be able to give back and help others. So, yeah, if anyone in here knows of someone who's struggling, I mean, feel free to reach out. I'd love to speak to anyone who wants to hear it, right? And the thing is it is a major problem. Wes wasn't lying when he says, I call it the hexagon of irony, because it is. It's It's a strip club, literally in the courtyard where we hang out as guys and chat and people have their cigarettes and stuff. Then you have a liquor store. You have a safe, like a needle exchange, another strip club. You have an RCMP detachment, and then you have a treatment center. You have everything, right? Within a stone's throw away. So, yeah, the liquor store is shut down now. The Turning Point has been defunded, and there is change being made. And our success rate is phenomenal. We've got an incredible group of guys in there because they come in there broken, but they come in there willing. And from what I've heard is we get people that inquire about why we're so successful there. And I truly believe it's the God factor. That's something that I never had in my times of sobriety. It was always, you know, Corey that did it. I succeeded at putting down the bottle and putting away the bag. But that was discontented life, right? I was not content with anything. And yeah, today I can say it is because of the Dream Center and what they've done for me. The tools they've given me and taught me are the things that I use just for today to keep me clean. And it's just for today. Tomorrow's another day. I don't know what that brings. But just for today, God is going to keep me clean and sober. And we'll see what tomorrow brings, but I'm pretty sure he'll help me there too, right? And I'm just going to keep going, and I hope I can string a whole lot of those together until I'm gone. And, yeah, thank you for taking the time to listen to me ramble on. But I'm here because what they're talking about does work, and it's because of these guys. Thank you.